Good morning. Welcome back to another episode of Talk with Tish. How are you guys doing today? I hope everything in your life is going as planned or you have a plan. Because things don't always have to work the way that we plan it out, but we have to be willing to take the good with the bad, analyze it, and move forward. It's not that we ignore, deny, or walk away from what's going on in our lives. We just need to learn how to know without a shadow of a doubt that it is going to work out for our good. And sometimes working out for our good takes years to accomplish and to be recognized. Sometimes it's a hindsight thing where we look back and reflect and say, wow, that was painful. I wouldn't want to walk that path again, but look at what it done. So that being said, you know, last episode, I was talking about my significant other. And I promised you guys I would come back with a part B because, as everyone knows, I really walk by faith. What got me through a lot of everything, I'm not even going to say a lot. What got me through everything that I have endured in my life was my faith in the Lord, my trust and belief in Him. And as I healed and matured and grew my relationship with the Lord, I tend to walk through life on a, okay, God, what are you trying to show me? What message was I supposed to get from this encounter? How did that work out? And that's the basis of this part two, is to show you guys the journey that Derek and I went over for the past 25 years to come full circle and end up in a relationship that God intended to happen in the first place. And how many times He tried to reconnect us and we missed it. And we were so busy being grown. We were so busy being broken. We were so busy, quote unquote, living life that we missed it. And how grateful I am that God didn't give up on us. And just how to give a shine a light on God's grace and mercy and how He works with us. And He's patient with us, and He's loving with us, and He's kind with us. And these are fruit of the Spirit that He always wants us to show other people. And He shows it to us first, and a lot of the times we still miss it. I don't use words like karma. You get what you deserve, things of those natures, because of my faith. Because I know that it's not karma, it's not luck, it's all God. And God keeps us when we can't keep ourselves, when we're so busy being busy, when we got it all figured out. And He definitely keeps us. So with that being said, I'm going to take a break and come back and just walk you through the 25 years it took for us to solidify our union. And, you know, really relinquish the strings and give it to God and allow God to shine in and through us together. So that being said, we're going to take a pause for the cause. And when I come back, I'm going to walk you down this journey. And no, it's not going to be long.
It doesn't, I'm not going to give all the nitty gritties and all of that good stuff, but I'm just going to get some key points and pivotal times in our relationship where God really tried to connect us and we missed it.
Welcome back. Today's topic, we're talking about my significant other and how it happened. But this is not part one. This is part two of a two-part series of the last episode was what happened, how life transpired, and where we are today as an engaged couple. Today's episode, because I rely so heavily on my faith, I wanted to talk about God in this journey to engagement. So, like I said, it was a 25-year walk. And when we initially met, as ironic as it wasn't neither one of our doing. We met because my father was dating his aunt. And I became friends with his cousin. And they were close-knit family, so he would be around. So that's how we, our first actual interaction became, was because of another person's relationship. And I didn't put nothing into it. He didn't put nothing into it. We were both fairly young when we met. And I already had a child. And we really wasn't, it, for lack of better terms, boyfriend and girlfriend. It was just somebody that I kicked it with. We hung out. We had a good time together. We never, quote unquote, made it to boyfriend and girlfriend status because I wasn't around long enough. And it was very short period of time. And I would say 6 months or less was our first initial meeting and spending time together. So what ended up happening was I entered into a committed relationship with another gentleman, which at the time felt like it was right. At the time felt like it was the right thing to do. It was a good thing to do. I was young. I knew that I wanted to be in a relationship. I knew that I wanted that security of a relationship. But what I didn't know was still how broken I really was. How much I really needed to heal, grow, mature. How, I don't like saying damaged, but to put it in retrospect or to put it in perspective, I was really, really hurting, and I just was still seeking, looking for love in the wrong places. I was seeking and searching for love in all the wrong places. So when I was asked to be in a relationship, I jumped in, because one of my biggest things in life, I wanted to always be married. But I didn't know what being married really was supposed to look like, because every marriage that was around me and I witnessed growing up was volatile, was toxic, was abusive, was, there was just, it wasn't a happy union. It wasn't a union that God intended and how God wanted our unions to be. And coming from all of these neglect, abuse, mistrust, you know, no positivity, I didn't realize how much work was ahead of me before I would have been completely ready. And I don't think you're ever completely ready for marriage. You come to an agreement that this is something you want out of life. And this is the spouse that you choose. And you're willing to do life together. You're willing to grow together. You're willing to transition together. You're willing to walk in purpose together. It's not about having the fairy tale, the big houses, the cars, the perfect family, being a soccer mom. It's not about none of that. When you enter that type of union, and you really have to be able to become one and have common goals, common outlook on perspective, on relationships, friendships, children, finances, work, travel. You really have to be able to come together with a whole nother human being who've had experiences, who has perspective, who was molded and grown into an individual who really is learning themselves just as much as you're learning yourself. And so, long story short, I ended up in my first domestic adult relationship. It was very volatile. It was very toxic. And the gentleman, he was not a bad person, all in all. But we both had things that had hurt us from the past that we needed to deal with and heal and grow from. And we didn't need to do it together. The things that attracted us to each other ultimately ended up being the things that broke us up. And that's how I look at relationships, that I was supposed to learn a lesson, good or bad, because that relationship I didn't enter in with God's grace. I didn't take that relationship to God and seek his guidance and approval before I entered it. I was so busy wanting to be married that I was bypassing all the steps to get to marriage. And I ended up having a live-in boyfriend for on and off 5 years. So that lasted for 5 years, and then it went from relationship to relationship to relationship. And the next encounter that I had with Derek came after he and my father reconnected after years of not being around each other, and of all places, they were both incarcerated. They were both in the same jail. I don't know who found out who, but from what I understand, was my father found out that he was in the same jail as Derek and sought him out. So before I go into that encounter, we're going to take a pause for the cause. Okay, welcome back. So right before the break, I was explaining to you guys that the second encounter, which wasn't immediately. To be honest, it was, oh my gosh, 14, 15 years later, my father was incarcerated. Derek was incarcerated. My father found out that they were in the same jail and was looking to touch base with him because got to talking about neighborhoods and people and realized, oh, I'm looking for Derek. And he happened to be talking to Derek when he was saying that he was looking for him. And he was like, yo, that's me. What's up?
And they have a conversation pertaining me. And I'm like, okay, I don't find his side of the story out until way later. But either this conversation the two of them had in jail resulted in me receiving a letter in the mail. So in this letter, it's proceeded to be told to me that they seen each other, and that's how he got my information, and he was reaching out to me, and he didn't come to me in a manner that made me okay with what we was talking about. It came to me, and I use the word sideways. He came to me talking to me like, oh, this is what I'm being told and you need to deal with it type of thing. And the situation was, my father believed that my oldest child at the time, our oldest living child, my son, was Derek's child. But this conversation that my father proceeded to have with Derek, he had never had with me. Not one time did he try to say, oh, you know, he looks like that's that dumb people. Are you sure that's whoop-de-whoop's son? Whoop, all of this. But these two had a conversation which led Derek to reach out to me. Well, at this point, my son was 14, 15 years old. He only knew this other family as his family. And I was left in a predicament of first, how do I handle this? Second, why now? My son's 14, 15 years old. Why do I have to, I don't justify, I don't have to owe nobody nothing. I didn't disappear when I found out I was pregnant. Nobody came to me in 15 years. The work is done. Why are you coming at me now? And I was defensive. I was very defensive because I was still healing. I was still growing. I was still maturing. I was still in dealing with my stuff, my truth. And this was a truth that I knew was a possibility from the day that I found out I was pregnant. And so did the gentleman that I was with. We both knew. But because of the way that I found out I was pregnant and the fact that I lost my child, my oldest, my daughter, within a week of me finding out I was pregnant, we made a decision that I agree may not have been the best decision, but at the moment, it was the best decision for me in what I was dealing with and going through. And I had more pressing issues to deal with. And we move through life that way. That's why I do talk with Tish and Power, Passion, and Purpose, Inc. is because it's very important to deal with truth. No matter how painful it is, no matter how you feel about it personally, it's truth and it has to be dealt with. There was a possibility that my son belonged to Derek or the other gentleman. That was my truth. But I walked in a decision. And this is where I was wrong, because I still should have reached out to Derek when I found out that I was pregnant, but I didn't. Out of respect of the relationship that I was in. The gentleman was like, I don't care. That's my baby. I'm going to raise this baby. The baby's going to be mine regardless. So that's how we move through life until life hit me with reality and I had to deal with it. And I had to tell my son at 14, 15 years old, the man that you have known your whole life may or may not be your father. That was one of the hardest things I ever had to do when it came to my children. And in retrospect, I made yet another decision good or bad, but I made a decision. I left it up to my son, who was at 14, 15. Do you want to find out? Do you want to look into this? He said no, and that's how we move through life. So I proceeded to respond to Derek's letter, letting him know, this is what we're not going to do. And it don't even matter. You're in jail. What can you do for my son? And that was the attitude I had. Because I didn't raise him for 14, 15 years by myself in a single parent home. What can you do for my child? So that was my response. And I thought it was over. So I thought. And that was the second time that God brought us together and we missed it. So I'm going to take a break again and tell you about the third time. And this whole, what God brings together, let no man take apart. If I've never believed it before, I believe it now. Because God has worked so much in this relationship that it astounds me all the time. Every day I find out something else and I'm like, wow. Wow. Thank you, Lord. So we're going to take a break and I'm going to come back with our third encounter. Welcome back. Welcome back. So I left off telling you guys that somebody in Derek's family reached out to my son and told him that they were family. That person that reached out to him also reached out to me. And it took me probably half a day to formulate words where I could speak and not be angry, not really step out of character, and respond in a loving manner where I can get my point across and not hurt this person's feelings. Because I was not upset that the person reached out to my son. Where I felt the person was wrong was because they were doing it for selfish reasons. Because they were feeling a certain type of way. But they didn't look at the big picture of how is this going to affect everybody involved. Because they was not aware of any conversation that happened between me, Derek, the person that Keith grew up knowing was his dad, or Keith. They didn't think about that. They didn't think about what was going on in my life at the time. They didn't think about anything. All they thought about was their selfish feelings of, I know that's my family and I don't care. And I had to formulate my response in a way that I could address that. And basically addressing that was letting them know this could have went all the way bad. Because one, had I not been where I am spiritually, emotionally, and physically, it could have been bad on my end. But also, you don't know my child. So what you don't know is how he's going to respond. Something like that can cause a child to commit suicide. Something like that could cause a child to go out and just end up in jail. Or if you don't know if they're battling with addiction, you don't know what's going on in anybody's life to have to do certain things. And I was like, it's not that we don't have to get, I was against getting to the bottom of it. What you don't know is what happened over the last 25 years for me to make the choices and decisions I made as a mother. And what I did as a mother was in the best interest of my children going forward. Right or wrong, understood or not, there were choices that I made and I stood by them then and I stand by them now. And if you can't respect that, then I'm sorry. But at the end of the day, if my son wants to find out, we will. If he does not, I support that as well. Now, what you are lucky in is that he would be willing to get to know you, because that's just how I raised him. He might not never claim you as family, but he will come around. He'll spend time with you, but that's just because that's how I raised my kids. So that led to the person calling me. We had a conversation, and they asked me, would I be willing to talk to Derek? Because they did this and Derek didn't even know. Hindsight. Here we go. So that led to me saying yes. And the initial conversation was very edgy. I was very guarded. Like, why are you back again? What do you want? I didn't want to receive any of that in. But by the third conversation that Derek and I had, I started softening my heart. And we really got in depth in the things that was being said to him versus the things that was being said to me or not being said to me, and how I moved through life and why I made the choices and decisions I made. And we both got to a point in our conversations where we both acknowledged where we went wrong. But as we grew and got to know each other and got reacclimated to each other and reacquainted with each other, our relationship got stronger. We looked at how alike we were, how our views on life, our situations in life, and choices and decisions we made in life were so parallel. The stock that we came from was so parallel. So when I say my soulmate, this man finishes my sentences and has not been around in 25 years. How? Because we are soul connected. God connected us 25 years ago. And because we had mess that we needed to heal and grow through, he allowed, but God kept that connection there. And as we have grown in our relationship, we both look back and we laugh about certain situations because we're like, oh, we totally missed it there. We totally missed it there. And now, because even this time, had I not been where I was spiritually, I would have blocked him again. Because I started on that initially. And I kept on saying, why are you back? Why are you back? Why are you back? And I kept going to God, like, why now? Of all times, why now? And what God kept telling me, and he only thing he said to me, what did you ask for? Every single time I went to God in this relationship about Derek, I had to ask him why. He kept on saying, what did you ask for? What kind of man did you tell me you wanted in your life? Who did you tell me you wanted to be with? What stock did you want? And that is what softened my heart and allowed me to allow him in. Was because God has fulfilled everything in this man that I have always wanted. And he has said so many things over the course of this year that I just can't believe that we allowed 25 years to go. And we almost missed it again because of how it came at us. But in the hindsight, what I found out during this course of this year by talking to this family member, it was destined before we even met each other. Because this same family member used to play with my little cousins down the street before at least 2 years, a year or two before me and Derek ever met. They was around me. And it wasn't until like 2 months ago that we put that together.
I mentioned a name, I mentioned a street, and they was like, wait a minute, I used to be over there, and da 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 da, and that's my friend, and this, that, and the third. I'm like, look at God. God tried 2 years prior to our actual first encounter to make this connection, and we missed it then too. So in all actuality, there was 4 personal encounters that drew us together. And I just want you guys to always know that God will get the glory. And I'm excited about our relationship. I love how it has grown, because it's long distance, because he's still in Pittsburgh. And we took our time to really get to know each other, get to understand each other. And we're still learning. We're still growing. We're still coming together on some things. And it just makes us stronger, makes us more committed, makes us realize how God truly works. And I just want you guys to be encouraged. And always put God first. Always seek God's confirmation, understanding. You could take your questions to him, because if you really, really want to know the answer, he's going to tell you. He's going to reveal it to you. And know that he is going to give you the desires of your heart the way, as long as they're in line with him. But what you got to also remember, the desires of your heart was put there by God. If you really want something out of life, God put that there. You didn't think of it on your own, because we're spirit. And our spirit speaks to us about our wishes, our dreams, our hopes, our aspirations, our love, our outlook on life, what we want, what we desire. What makes us happy? We didn't just wake up one day and say, oh, this is what I want. God planted that there. That's a seed that needs to be nurtured and grown. So until our next episode, I want you guys to always be open to revelation. Always be looking for God to confirm, and be ready for correction. Allow him to heal you, because with that healing and that correction, you start walking in this peace. You start walking in abundance. You start walking in joy. And you can give love. You can be kind, compassionate, open, and willing to do what you need to do in life. And it will always work out. Until the next time, God loves you, and so do I. This has been Talk with Tish, and I'll see you guys soon. We'll talk to you guys soon. And some of you guys I will see. Many blessings and much love.
Back. My significant other and how that happened is today's topic for this podcast. And I just laugh because I look at how we as people let our flesh dictate a lot of things, our choices and decisions, good or bad, right or wrong, and how much we don't seek the Lord. So I told you before the break that I was going to talk about our third encounter. But in that talking about our third encounter, I have to touch on a decision I made moving. I've always had a connection with the Lord. I've always was a believer. I've been saved since I was 12 years old. And not being saved that I made all the right decisions and choices. Because there was generational curses on my life that had to be broken. There was bad lifestyle habits and choices that had to be broken. There was things that were spoken in and over my life that had to be healed, corrected. And I had to go to the Word and allow God's Word to penetrate and soften my heart and show me who I was in and through Him. And I still am a work in progress. There was heavy things that I had to live and deal with. That's not the topic of this podcast, so I'm not going to dive into that. Just know that relationships are hard. Relationships have always been hard for me because of the path that I was put on coming into this world, what I was privileged to seeing growing up, what I endured growing up. So my relationships have always been distorted. My idea of relationships, what they look like, how they supposed to be. I always knew what I didn't want in a relationship, but it took me almost 40 years to figure out what I wanted in a relationship. I knew all the things I didn't want, even though I kept falling victim to those things because they came to me differently. You're a good guy. Oh, you work. Oh, you know, we don't argue. This to ultimately end up in something that I wasn't supposed to be in. One, because I didn't seek God. I didn't allow God to put the people in my life that because I didn't know. I didn't know better. So when you don't know better, you can't do better. But got to a point in my life where I chose to date and not be in a committed relationship. I chose to raise my kids in a single parent home because, as I tell those that I mentor and counsel, my picker was off. I didn't know how to pick people, but better yet, I didn't know how to be picked either. So I had to do the hard work on myself and find out who I really was. I had to remove all the labels that had been put on my life for years. I had to heal. I had to grow. I had to mature. I had to find out the truth of what I am in God's sight, who I am. And in finding out who I am, I was able to heal. I was able to grow. I was able to mature. I was able to learn what love was and what love looked like and how love is expressed and how compassionate it is and how giving it is and how open it is and how non-judgmental it is, how non-condemning it is. I was able to see all of this, not only receive it, but give it. And one of my biggest and most valued decisions I made in my life was that I was relocating from a place that meant was nothing but turmoil, pain, anguish, heartache, to a place where I could get a fresh start. When I made the decision, so I thought to help my children. But in the choice to relocate, it was the best decision I ever made in my life. Not that it was an easy transition, not that we didn't go through things when we moved, because it really, really got bad. But health-wise, relationship with the Lord-wise, mental anguish, purging, healing, it all encompassed a sense of peace. I had moments of peace prior to moving, but now I truly walk with a peace of I can get through anything. Because I am God's.
And anything I face today, he's going to work for my good. I believe that. I trust my daddy. And I seek him for anything and everything I do now. And it took me a long time to get to that place. And when what I didn't realize is where I tell people, watch your words. Watch what you say. Speak life. But I didn't even put the weight on the words that I said before I made the move. And what I said, I will share. I said to God, I am totally submitted to you. With this move, I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't know what it's going to bring. But you told me to leave on June 30th. And you told me to go to California. And I'm going. I did not know what to expect. I didn't know where we was going to be. I didn't have a job lined up. But I trust I heard clearly from the Lord what to do. And it was about me not helping God help me. I lived a lot of years busy being busy. I lived a lot of years to not feel hurt, pain, and anger, just staying busy, running. Running from my calling, running from my relationship with the Lord, running from situations. Yeah, I raised my kids, instability. But when I mean running, I would be gone out of my household for 14, 15 hours out of the 24-hour day. Busy. This meeting, that meeting, this function, that function, on this board, on that board, talking here, teaching here, in church there, singing here, singing there. I was busy being busy, and God couldn't get through. My relationship with the Lord was still there. I still prayed. I still did Bible study. I still did church. I still did I thought I was doing enough. But what I wasn't doing was allowing him to speak into me so I can walk in my purpose. What I wasn't doing, I got the message, but I did it the way I felt like I was comfortable. I didn't allow God to make me uncomfortable to be obedient. And it caused me still. So 4 years ago, I made the decision to relocate. And I always thought that I relocated for the greater good of my family, which it was. In hindsight, it was. But what that wasn't the underlying. That's what I mean. God moves. God's going to get the glory. So this transition brought us to California. We've been here for 4 years. And now that I've been here for 4 years, I'm in the most mentally healthy place that I've ever been. Physically, I'm feeling good. Emotionally, couldn't be more. I had my joy back. I was loving on the Lord. I was spending time in his word. I was seeking his guidance. I was looking for him at every point and turn. I was asking him, okay, what you want me to do today? What am I supposed to fulfill today? Not stressing about tomorrow, my bills. Yes, they're there. They're very real. And I don't walk in a box. But I truly seek God for anything and everything. And he was preparing me. He was preparing me for one of the things I've always asked for, and that was my husband. Because I remember during these 4 years of being here, there were times that we would sit there and I would cry out to him because I didn't understand. I'm like, God, you know, you said we delight ourselves in you. You give us the desires of our heart. And I didn't understand. Because I'm not, like, yes, I like material things, but I'm not a materialistic person.
I just wanted my kids healthy. I wanted to have a loving relationship. I wanted to be in love. I wanted to be married. And I didn't want to raise my kids in a single parent home. But I vowed to myself and God that I wasn't going to bring a man in the house that was going to mistreat them. Just for the sake of say I had a husband. And I'm like, okay. So I had started feeling like I was not going to find my significant other, was not going to find me. I don't know. I was seeking him for understanding in that situation. And he knew what I wanted in a partner. I did all of that. I did some marriage devotionals, preparing for marriage, being in your singleness, a lot of things I did in seeking God about being prepared to be a wife. Not that I always didn't have wife qualities. I wasn't ready. And the beginning of this year brought the third encounter. And that third encounter, yet again, was through another person. So our first meeting was because of a relationship. Our second meeting was because of a person. Now the third encounter of me and Derek was a person. And this person didn't know the whole story, didn't really know the ins and outs of how things transpired over the last 25 years. But what they had in their heart was this burning and yearning that my child was a part of their family. And because in their mind, it made sense to reach out to him. Because I know this is a fact. I know this is a reality. And I just want to know once and for all. I've grown up thinking this, being, you know, hearing stories, but I'm going to find out on my own. So at the beginning of this year, this person proceeded to reach out on social media to my son and tell him who they were and explain to them their feelings and attached a picture of Derek and a picture of my son on a side by side and sent it to my son. Take a deep breath. Because now my son's a young adult. Yet again, he's been raised with a mindset and a perception that one person is his father and has been raised with this whole family and never really knew about this other person. There's only been one time in his life that this other option or possibility came up. And I'm in California, he's in Pittsburgh, and I get a text from my child or a call. He might have even called me and got to asking me, who's Derek? And we got a pretty big family. So I initially either think that it's a friend of the family or a family member, never even associated that name with the other possible man that could be his father until we got to talking. Like initially when he asked me, because my son will do that. He'll just pop up out the blue and be like, oh, who's such and such? I don't know. Oh, well, they said they're such and such. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's this person, that person. That's that person's child or that person's whatever. We know a lot of people. Our family is huge. So after talking for a few minutes, I realized who he was talking about. And I was like, okay, so why? What's going on? He was like, I'm about to send you something. So he sent me the screenshot of the messages between him and the person that reached out to him.
once I read the information, man, my son had a conversation and I had to remind him about what happened when he was 14, 15. And then now bring it up to current day where he's about 20, 22, get ready to be 23. And I'm like, okay, this is what I'm going to say to you. You are grown and the choice and decision is yours. Whatever you want to do, that's how we're going to proceed. If you want to find out, I support you. If you do not want to find out, I support you. I gave him the same option that I gave him when he was 14 and 15. Because at this point, he is a young adult. And if he wants to proceed through life, I said, but now you know. I gave him the whole story. I said, this was mommy. This was our reality. This is how it transpired. And this is how we moved through life. It's never going to take away from the fact that the man that you have been calling dad your whole life will always be your dad. All this is an option and a possibility to grow who you think family is. You can allow them in. You can allow them to get to know them. And they're added to you. They will be a bonus family that will never take away from your aunties, your uncles, your cousins, and your dad that you know as your dad. But you can go from today and build a relationship with them and see how you feel. Get to know them. Spend some time with them. It just adds. Because in my household, I raised my kids that bloodline does not make you family. Just because you share blood don't make you family. Those who treat you and support you and encourage you, uplift you, and teach you things, that's your family. Your family is what you make it. Because that's what I come from. So raising my kids, I have, I think it's 14 brothers and sisters. But blood-wise, I only have a brother and a sister. I'm my father's only child. I'm my mother's oldest child. But I have siblings that have become my siblings over the years because of the system or because we grew a bond so close that, you know, our kids call each other's auntie, you know. That's family. Family's what you make it. So what I didn't know, when this person reached out to my son, they also reached out to me. And I received a message as well. But what they did, they reached out to me after they reached out to my son. So I'm going to give you a few minutes to just take all that in. Take all of that in. And then I'll tell you how my God is amazing. Welcome back.